Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here. I'm glad you decided to join us today. And even those who are watching online, we're glad you decided to join us. Randy, you did such a great job. The job's yours, okay? You got the job of announcements, all right? I'm passing the buck, okay? So be careful. Be careful what you share. People are watching and listening. I think about the song, Jesus, Be My Center, and how appropriate that is for the message today, that Jesus is our center of our lives. Jesus is the source, and he's the only source of our lives. And because of that, because he is the source, because he reigns, because he's sovereign, because of all the things he says he is, which we'll take a look at, is then we have an opportunity to live out the instructions and the words he's put before us. We're able to live out and put practical living into how we should live. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I see the scriptures and I'm going, yeah, but how am I supposed to live? Well, how does it apply to me today? How am I supposed to put feet to this? And we're going to go there. We're going to look at putting off the old and putting on the new. And these are the things we're going to take a look at. So why don't we bow our heads and go and pray? Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are supreme. We thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you, Lord, that you are the center of our lives. And Lord, help us to make you the center of our lives, Lord. Lord, just pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit continues to move through this room. Lord, we just lift you up and praise you for who you are. And Holy Spirit, as always, you are the teacher, and you be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We've been looking at Colossians 3. And before we do that, you know, Paul, a lot of times when he wrote the epistles, he started out by talking about doctrine. And then when he laid out the doctrine, he went and moved in the area of practical living. And this is what's going on in the book of Colossians. The first two chapters dealing with doctrine. And then the last two chapters, which we'll be looking at Colossians 3, talks about practical living. And the doctrine we'll be looking at and will be laid out, we see that Jesus is center. But again, it has to do with the doctrine of preeminence. So we see that, and we think about doctrine. We go, well, what is doctrine? I hear the word doctrine. I'm not quite sure what it is. It means, all it means is instruction. All it means is teaching, okay? And applies, the doctrine it's given, applies to a life application. How do we put feet to it? How do we live it? How do we live that out? In other words, the teaching that's going on, the doctrine of this, is there's an authoritative source. And there's only one authoritative source, and that's the Bible. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. When it says it's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for teaching. Let's look at another scripture verse, Titus 2:1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper, teach the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Not only do we have the doctrine, but the doctrine should be sound. It should be healthy. It should be a source that we can trust. It should be a source that we can rely on. And the idea is we need to put on the new self with the doctrines of preeminence. And we need to take a look at what preeminence is, okay? Preeminence is, all it is taking first place. It's taking superiority. And the scriptures we'll look at is clear that Jesus should take first place. And the scripture is clear that he is taking the position of first place. He's the one who's supreme. He's the one who's superior. And these are the things that we need to follow. So we see it in Colossians 1:15 through 17. It said, he's the image of the visible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In him, all things consist. So we see that laid out, and we see the scriptures, and what it's saying is that he is, we see him as he is. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's God. He's the second person, again, he's He's a perfect God-man, and he's a perfect man-God. I quite don't understand that, but it's clear that that's who he is. He's not only preeminent, but he's preeminent in creation. The reason he's preeminent in creation, we looked at in 1:15, is because he's the creator. He's also the preeminent in redemption, because, why? He is the redeemer. He's also preeminent in the church, that he's head of the church, that he gave himself for the church. And it says very clear that he is the one who's in charge. And I want to take a look at something in verse 15. It talks about firstborn in creation. And there's a heresy that goes on. There's a heresy that's going on with using the word firstborn. And people might not quite understand it. And the heresy is still going on in the churches today. Actually, the Jehovah's Witnesses still believe this. They actually believe, and people believe and teach, that he is a created being. Okay? He's not a created being. That's not what it means when he says firstborn. He is the creator, okay? So we need to realize that he is the creator. So it's his church. And firstborn, it means one of authority, one of position of honor. That's what it's saying. That's what it's laying down. So we see this all laid out. You know, and I want, you know, we need to go through these of the doctrine of preeminence to understand moving into practical living. So we lay this out, and then we'll have a better understanding. How should we put feet to it? How should we live this out? What does it mean to me? How do I do this? Well, Scripture is going to lay it out, putting off the old and putting on the new. And he should take first place in our lives, guys. And people talk about, I think of preeminence, we say he's first, like a dedication a dedicated commitment. And we have a tendency to say, well, I'm a dedicated Christian. I'm a committed Christian. And then we do whatever we feel we want to do. We feel what's not pleasing to the Lord. And we live as we please. And we know that, failure, the truth, we know the truth, but we fail to live it out in our lives. Titus 1:16 is not on there. I'm going to read it for you. I don't have it up there. This is not my Bible, so I'll be quicker with this. Titus 1:16 says, It says, they profess to know God. We profess to know God, but in the works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So we profess to know him, we profess to be committed, we profess to be who say who he is, but we live something different. And this is not part of who we should be. If we claim to be him to be first place in our lives, then we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient on this side of eternity. How do we live that out? We walk in obedience. And obedience, look at John 14:15. I will read it. Again, that's not up there. And it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we see part of him being sovereign in our lives and doing what he says to do, that we need to be obedient. We say we love him, but we also need to keep his commandments. So we need to be safeguarded of that. We need to be careful of that, how we live and how we walk. Now we're going to go to the scripture verses that we want to look at in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now we're moving in the area of practical living. The doctrine's been laid out. The doctrine of preeminence has been laid out. We know that he's sovereign. We know he's first. We know all these things. And it doesn't matter whether we agree with it or not. Scripture is clear. That's who he is. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to make him part of our lives? Are we going to walk in obedience? Are we going to be yielding ourselves and submitting ourselves? So we see practical living. And again, I come back to, I need practical living. You know, there's times I don't know, how does it look like? What does it look like? How should I do this? How? Lord, I'm not quite sure. And we'll see that it's laid out. And the scriptures in Colossians will lay that out, a practical living. And we need to understand that practical living needs to be on the foundation of the Bible. It needs to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And it says in Colossians, let me go back to it. I have an NASB and I'm grabbing another Bible. I'm so familiar with my Bible. You ever happened to you that you're used to your Bible? I am. It happens to me. It says, if then you were raised with Christ. It says, it's like, is it a question? Is it a doubt? Am I really raised with Christ? It's talking about since I've been raised with Christ, okay? It's confirming it. It's the real deal. Since you've been confirmed with Christ. And it talks about, going back to Colossians 2:12, that it says we've been baptized, buried in his baptism, excuse me. We've been buried in his baptism, then we've been raised with him. So we see that old life, we've been buried, old life is buried, and we've been raised with him to the new life. In other words, he's saying we are co-resurrected. That's what it's saying. That's what the scriptures say. We've been co-resurrected with Jesus Christ. So because of that, because of who he is, because we've been, the old life has been buried in baptism, because we have the new life because Jesus rose, that we're able to say, we already know, well, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So we're able to identify in the living Christ. This is what it's saying. In other words, your identification today is not in you, is not in yourself, is not in your spouse. Your identification is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone because of what he did on the cross, because he laid down his life. So, again, you know, it's interesting. We said we've been raised with Christ. The only way we're able, because we've been raised with Christ, we're only able to seek those things above. We can't seek those things on our own. We could try. But because we've been raised, because of what Christ has done, because we've been co-resurrected, then we're able to say, you know, I can seek those things while I am here. After his resurrection, Jesus left the tomb. And we need to do the same thing. We need to leave the tomb. We don't live there anymore, okay? Stop trying to live that old life. Stop trying to live the life that was part of the tomb. Jesus rose, left the tomb, and we need to leave the tomb because of who we are, but who he is. So these are the things, these are the steps that we need to take. And it says, seek those things in verse 1. It says, which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I've heard that so many times. I've heard, well, he's seated at the, I know, well, he's seated at the right hand of God. He's seated at the right hand of God. Well, what's that mean? What's it mean that he's seated at the right hand of God? It's a position of honor. It's a position of honor that rightfully Jesus earned by going to the cross. It's also, it says he sat down. And I'm thinking, well, he sat down. He was basically, I'm not, you know, saying that the work is completed. The redemption that is already complete. It is done. It is finished. And that's why he's saying, I've done what I did. I'm back in heaven. And these are the things you need to keep your mind on. These are the things you need to seek. And we see the things. We should be, it should be occupying who we are. It should be occupying our being. Is it occupying you? So English is my second language, in case you're, it's okay. Okay. So anyway, is he occupying your being? Is he occupying your existence? And we should be excited. We should be excited about spiritual things. Let's talk about a passion. And we should be passionate about spiritual things. You know, a lot of times we get excited and we have a passion for things that have no eternal value. We do. We're guilty of that. You know, we're all guilty of that. And we need to move from that area of the excitement and the passion that we have for the things that have no eternal value, for the things of God, for the things of Christ, keeping our mind on things above. And the things above, it's actually talking about Christ. We need to set our minds on things. We need to set our minds on the eternal, not on the eternal, not the temporal. And this is what's really being presented here. And I've heard this. I don't know if you ever heard this before. I've heard this a couple times. It says, you can be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah, I've seen a couple of hands. And the first time I heard that, I actually heard it from the pulpit. I was a new believer. And then I'm thinking like, well, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't line up with my brief understanding of the Word of God. And we need to be careful, because a lot of times with pastors, it's a catchy phrase, but is it true? Is it true? And pastors will take what they heard and heard another pastor say it and then regurgitate it and say it themselves and repeat it. And we need to be careful of that. This has nothing to do with doctrine, has nothing to do with the basics of the faith, but something we need to be careful about. If that pastor is willing to do that, if that pastor is willing to put something is claiming is truthful and it's not, then what else is he putting out there? Where else is he going with things? What else is he teaching? It's called the tickling of the ears. And we need to be careful of that. We need to be careful what I say, what Dan says, whoever's in this stand in this pulpit, that it lines up with the Word of God. And this should be a safeguard. This should be something that goes off with you and realize, you know, I need to be careful. And we always talked about knowing the Word of God and with counterfeits. The only way to recognize counterfeits was what? Studying the real deal. Well, you want to recognize a counterfeit? You want to be able to recognize false teaching from the pulpit someone's putting out there? Then you need to be in and studying the real deal, which is the Word of God. So that's an encouragement for us, that we all should be putting that out there. And it's a catchy phrase. Again, tickling the ears. It doesn't mean we exclude ourselves from the world when it says be heavenly minded. It's just the opposite, actually. When we're heavenly minded, I'm going to do things that are going to attempt to be pleasing to God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if I'm doing it to attempt to please God, then God's going to bring me to the point where I'm not only going to do things that are pleasing to him because my mind's on things above, then what it's going to extend to is he's going to give us works to do. And we need to be about his business. We need to do the works. And we all know Ephesians 2, 8, 9, the scripture verses, for it's by grace are you saved. But Ephesians 2, 10, it talks about we are his workmanship, okay? It talks about that he's already planned works for us in advance, after we come to Jesus Christ. So when we're heavenly minded, all we need to do is walk into the works that he's already given to us. Walk into the works that he's already prepared for each and every one of us. And this is what we need to do. This is what's encouraging about doing this. And I think about, you know, I'm going to turn it around and saying you can be too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good or any value. That is the truth. If our minds is here on this earth and all it is what's going in front of us, then how are we going to be any of eternal value whatsoever to not only our lives, not only to our spouses, not only to our children, but to others around, all the people that we have contact, all the people that we encounter. So the Bible insists on keeping your mind on things above. 2 Corinthians 4:18. I'm going to go back to, excuse me, sorry, there. I have the quote from C.S. Lewis. Can you go back to that, please? Thank you. It says, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. Does that resonate with you? Is that ringing in your ears? Is that speaking to you? There's truth in that. There's truth in that statement. You want to be of any earth, then we have our minds, but this is not our home. You know, a lot of us live our lives as if this is our home, that this is all it is. We're just passing through. That's all we're doing. We're just passing through. And we need to keep our minds on things above. We need to keep these things on the next world. The next world is where heaven is. And we're able to share those truths with others. I think about those who are earthly minded. And it says, sometimes earthly-minded might be short-sighted. What do you mean by that? Let's look at another scripture verse, 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This world is passing away, guys. Okay? Why are you trying to hold on to it? It holds nothing for us today. It holds nothing for us today. It holds nothing for me, and it shouldn't hold nothing for you. And the Bible is clear about that. So in other words, when we're walking in on things above, our faith will impact the lives of others. It will touch others. It will reach out to others. It will speak to others. You know, that we have an opportunity because of that mindset to speak the word of God in other people's lives. If for those who are focused on Christ, we will bring him glory. Let's look at where, and we need to be, where are you at? Where's your heart at? What's your thought process? What's going on? What's driving you? What makes you tick today? As a believer, let's look at Matthew 6:19-21. And it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure lie? Is it laying here? Things in front of us? Things that we see? And we talked about looking at things that are unseen. The only way we're able to see unseen is by faith. It will open up those things. It will open it up. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, it talks about. So we see that where are you lying your treasures at? Where's your treasures at? Well, your heart is going to follow. It's just natural. Okay? If it's in this world, that's all it's going to be. Does it mean that you miss out on heaven? No, that's not what I'm saying. What you're going to do is miss out on what God wants to do in your life. You're going to miss out on the opportunities that God wants to use you. He wants to use all of us that's in this room. And we need to do that by yielding, surrendering, keeping our mind and our heart and our affections on things above. Listen, our feet are planted here, okay? Let's get a grip. Our feet are planted here. But we need to look things from a heavenly perspective, guys and girls. We need to realize for us to be heavenly minded, we need to set our minds on things above. We need to set our minds on the Word of God. We need to set our minds on Christ. We need to set our minds on his teachings. And then we need to be sowing the Word of God, our life, our Word of God into others. You know, I encounter someone, if I'm going to have an impact on someone, and it has to do with discipleship we talk about, is I can have an opinion. I have an opinion. If you're around me long enough, you realize I have an opinion. But it doesn't mean anything, okay? Okay. What's going to have an impact on someone's lives is sowing the Word of God into their heart. Sowing the Word into their God, into their lives. That's the only thing that's going to have an impact. That's the only thing that's going to change someone. Not my opinion, not my take, not my feelings, but the Word of God. And we need to be thinking scripturally a lot of times. You know, I've talked that with a lot of the men. Think scripturally. Start thinking scripturally. The only way you're able to think scripturally is if you're in the Word of God, if you're studying the Word of God. The Bible talks about hide your Word in my heart. Are you hiding the Word in your heart? Which means get about and reading the Bible and studying it, meditating on what it says. It says verse 3, Philippians 3, I'll go to it, it's not up there. And when Christ, who is our life, that's verse 3. It says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Oh, I better get moving, huh? And when Christ is our life, will appear. Jesus is coming back. He's our life. He should be our life. And we've died. The scripture says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I can put that out there. It could be a catchy phrase. And I can repeat it and say, yeah. And I quote Galatians 2:20. I know it's an important part of one of the scriptures that I know. But am I truly living it out? Is it real in my life? No, I can say it, but I need to make it real in my life. And these are the things we do. He's coming back. And one day we'll be glorified. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking to be taken up in the air. The scripture is clear about 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. We'll go to that, please. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So, again, there's three things that are going on in our lives while we're here. It's we've been justified. We talk about doctrines, whether it's doctrine of justification. Then we're being sanctified, which means we're being changed, the doctrine of sanctification. And then one day we'll be glorified, which goes along with the doctrine of sanctification. Let's look at Colossians 3, 5, and 9, please. I'm going to move forward. Colossians 3, 5, and 9. Okay. Therefore, put to death your members which are, I'm going to spend a lot of time on this. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So, verse 9, please. Is it up there? Okay. I'll read it then. What's that? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Colossians 3, 5 through 9. It was up there, correct? Okay. Okay, excuse me. Sorry, apologize. But it says, now you yourselves are to put off all these angers, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of the mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man who is with his deeds. I'm not used to looking up. I'm used to just look, teach you from the Bible, guys. Hang with me, okay? So we see that laid out. And we see what's being laid out is sexual sins with it. Sensual sins. And these are the things that we should not be a part of our lives today. And we talk about covetousness. Covetousness, I want to address that, is covetousness, we always want something that we can't have. In other words, covetousness, the person is never satisfied. And covetousness is talking about idolatry. And idolatry, anything that's put before God is idolatry in our lives. So I don't care what it is. I can name it, I can list it, you know what I mean? But if you're putting other things before God, then there's a covetousness that's going on. And the sins that were mentioned should not be part of our lives today. It's what we used to do. And it's talking about practicing these sins. You know, we shouldn't be practicing these sins. Does it mean that we don't fall into it occasionally, but we have forgiveness? But be careful. If it's part of your lifestyle, if it's part of that you're practicing, then you need to check, see if you're in the faith. You need to examine yourself and move forward with that. Then we move into social sins with 8 and 9. I don't need to put it up there, but it's talking about anger. It's talking about malice and all these things. And one of the things I briefly want to touch on is anger. Anger. Let's face it, all of us at some point or another struggle with anger, okay? We all do. We need to be real and be honest. We all struggle with it. Go up on 278, okay? I'm getting chuckles. Have you ever, do you like, hey, praise the Lord, I love how that driver just cut me out, okay? Now, we get angry. Face up to it. Be real. It's something, and all these social, and we so accept social sins today. Like, we just accept it. Oh, I'm just angry. I'm just use foul language. I just, it shouldn't be part of who we are. We need to get rid of it. And all anger is not sin. There's a righteous indignation. There's a righteous anger. And our righteous anger is, God had a righteous anger. Remember when he turned the money changers? Okay? He had a righteous anger. In other words, his anger was given, was grief over sin. And our hearts should also have a righteous anger as Jesus has grief over sin, that we should have grief over sin. And I could list a whole man, child abuse, pornography, abortion, you name it, boom, boom, boom. These are the things that anger God. And if it goes and angers God, it should anger us. Meaning anger us, but it's okay. It's an emotion that God has given us. Not all anger is sin, okay? Not all anger is sin. Okay? So we laid everything out. And we're going to go back to Colossians 3. We ended at 9. And it says, put off. And I think about putting off. And there's social organizations that emphasize putting off. Don't drink. Don't gamble. Don't do these things. And these are all good things. It might give someone some false sense of security to move forward. But where does that get you? I want to know, okay, I put these things off. Now what do I do? I need to be known, be made aware of. Now what do I put on? And that's the beauty of it. Jesus and the scriptures are going to lay out the things that we need to put on. And I think of this 10 through 14. That's Colossians 3, 10 through 14. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, the chosen of God, holy and beloved, that's us, we are the elect. I want to get into it. That's another, there's a doctrine of election. I'll let Dan handle that later. If you have any questions about election, go see Dan. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Okay, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Okay? It says that we renew ourselves, that we're new create. I'm not going to put the scripture verse up here. I'm just going to continue to read. I'm going to cut that off with putting it up there, if you don't mind. I'm going to move forward. It says, but scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that we are new creations, that old things have passed and all things become new. Okay? And renewing, it says, Bible in Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? By being in the Word, by taking it. And we see the instructions going on here, and we see the things that are going on. And I see putting off, I'll use the example I like, is clothes. If you're working in the mines, or you're working a construction job, and your clothes are dirty, you come home, what do? Sit around in the dirty clothes? Well, the dirty clothes is signifying the old way, the sin. No, we need to take that off. And we need to put on the new clothes. And this is what the example that's being laid out. In other words, what is going on here? He's saying, you need to put off the grave clothes of sin and put on the new clothes that the righteousness of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. These are the things that we need to do. So we need to put on these things. And all the virtues laid out, and if you look at these virtues laid out, it's very similar to the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I'm going to read that. I don't think I have that up there. And it says, put on, you know, all these things and then involve it with love. But with Galatians, it's before Ephesians. It's not my Bible, remember. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. So we see the things that are laid out in the fruit of the Spirit. The same thing that's being laid out here. These are the things that we need to put. These are the things that we need to put on. Are you able to put them on? And the thing is, we don't put them on ourselves. We need to allow the Lord put it on for us. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit and all these things are accomplished is nothing that we take upon ourselves. We need to walk into that. How do we walk into it? By abiding in the Lord, by remaining in Him, by seeking Him. I don't get up and saying, you know what, I think I'm going to be kind. I think I'm going to be gentle. I think I'm going to be merciful. And we work so hard. At least I can do it. I'm guilty of that. I work so hard. And I realize, no, I just need to yield and submit. And the interesting thing is, as in Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit, everything stems from love. And then we see in Colossians 3, it's talking about love. And I think about love as, I don't know if women still wear that, but think about a girdle. A girdle holds everything together, right? I hate to use that example, but I'm going to anyway. So we see that the girdle holds everything together. And we see that love is that girdle. Love is the girdle that holds all these virtues that were mentioned together. We need to be walking in love, guys. And let's go back to Colossians 3. You like that image I just left with you? Okay. So, anyway. And it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Okay, I'm reading it up there. Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. The peace of God. It talks about rules and umpire. An umpire calls balls and strikes, safe, out. And the same thing of God. We need to allow the peace of God to rule in our heart. We should allow the peace of God rule and dictate in our lives. It'll tell you. It'll keep you. If you have the peace of God, then it will keep you from it. John 14:27, I'd like to read. I'm pretty sure that's not up there. And John 14:27. Excuse me. And it says, peace I leave you. This is Jesus talking. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need to have the rule of peace of God ruling our lives and governing our lives. There's a slide that should be up there about no Jesus, no peace. There you go. Thank you. And the same use of the word no, N-O and K-N-O-D-O. You have no Jesus, no peace. If you know Jesus, then you will know the peace. You will know the peace that passes all understanding. And that's the only way we'll do it, is we need to let that peace rule in our hearts, govern our lives, orchestrate the things that need to be done. We need to let the Word of God take root in us. We need to let it influence. When the Word of God, in verse 16, when it influences us, it will only help influence others. And verse 17, I like this. It says, I'm going to close right there. And it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Sometimes we have a tendency to think, whatever you do, we think, oh, spiritual things. Spiritual things. If I just do spiritual things, let me give an example. Whatever you do, cleaning the toilets, sweeping the floor, anything that we do, do unto the glory of God. And I love this quote. She's no longer around, but Ruth Graham, the husband of Billy Graham, they're both home with the Lord. In verse 17, this, very good. And this is what she said while she was still alive. Divine service will be conducted here three times this day. That's it, I guess. Okay, it says, in other words, that sign, that plaque, still hangs over above her sink. In other words, every time she's doing the dishes, and it's not a spiritual thing, but she's doing it unto the glory of the Lord. And this is what we need to do. We need to move in that area. We need to move in the area. Mother, whatever we do, how minimal it might be in your eyes, it's not minimal in the eyes of the Lord. Do unto the glory of God. Why don't we close in prayer? Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that we open up your word. Lord, help us to put feet to it. Help us to live this out, that you will be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus.
Why don't we all stand?
In your church. church. Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in your church, Lord. Be glorified today. Pronounce this blessing over one another. Let's sing. The Lord bless thee. May the Lord bless thee and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face toward you. May the Lord give you his peace. Let's sing that again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face toward you. May the Lord give you his peace.
Maybe you need prayer. Dan always says, these altars are yours. So if you feel led or feel moved that you need prayer in your life, whatever it is, I'll be here. Randy will be here. And Mike, the elders, will be here. And again, have a great day. Have a great weekend. And
ladies will meet up here.
And the ladies will meet up there. How's that?
Don't miss out. I hear it's awesome.
I won't be there. So, Lord, we just dismiss everyone. Lord, just thank you for who you are and what you're doing. Continue to be in our lives. Lord, use us for your glory the remainder of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.